The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone!
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox!
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Hear me like a bop, bop,
bop! Go, Red Sox!
Hear me like a bop, bop, bop!
Wall dick, well, yeah!
Hey, you fired up?
Hello! Welcome to the show!
Hello!
I have 6 butts. I have 2 boobs, not 6.
I love that bird. He's a great guy. I love bird.
My name is Bach Chevelle.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, 617-779-0985. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Adam Jones is in for Rich, who is out at the big eSports final over there in Brooklyn. In a big-time meeting with the... He had a big thing with the crafts. The crafts were out there. Yesterday. That's right. He was hobnobbing with the crafts.
Do you know if he had a chance to speak to RKK? I know that was a goal of his.
Yeah, we're constantly talking.
I figured maybe he got a text last night saying, I've reached the peak of the mountain. I actually spoke to him. I thought maybe he got a text.
Yeah, I'm in the loop constantly.
Okay. I can't
get enough.
He calls you sweetie.
Yeah. He answers all my phone calls. It's symbiotic, the whole relationship. So he's out there. And he's spending the weekend on the company dime, baby. Going out to Brooklyn to go watch that thing. That's the opening of the show.
And we're off.
Right. So I got to go to Atlanta tomorrow. And ever since that big delay in my flight where we were on a Tuesday, we were supposed to have an 11:15 flight in the morning. And then get home around 3:30. We were going through Philadelphia. I ended up not getting home, leaving my parents' house at like 9:30 and not getting home till like 1:30 at night. And I've been completely drained since then. And now tomorrow I got to turn around and go to Atlanta. And now when I come back from Atlanta, a series of appointments, I have somehow, because you know I like the sun. You know, that's the facts. I just like to get out there at the sea pool and see what's going on. And I was on a cruise. I legitimately have like third degree burns on my forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see that?
Yeah, there's a little.
And it's gotten better. But this is so, I mean, the top, if you don't know, like, you know how you're supposed to get a nice golden tan when you sit out there. It's just gotten pink and not pink burned. Pink, like it's burned off a bunch of skin on my forehead.
Yeah, like there's a few spots that are maybe pinker than others, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like I was in a minor fire. It looks like that has happened to me. So I have to immediately go into, not immediately, but I have to go to a dermatologist to see that. And then I have something in my left nipple that hurts.
In it?
Like in it.
In it.
Like, how did that happen?
Below the skin. I don't know. But I got to go to a doctor look at it.
Was it a sun tanning thing, or is this something independent?
This is independent of the sun, I would believe.
Okay. Is this a specialist?
I don't know. I got to go to my general practitioner.
Oh, I see. So yeah, you haven't been. I don't know what specialist kind of oversees that.
Nipple
area.
Specialist.
I don't know. 617-779-0985. If anyone can help me out, if anyone can help me out with this thing in my nipple, is. Because I figured it was nothing.
Yeah.
And then it just hurts. It hurts right. When I touch it. It's sore to the touch.
Huh.
Because it's very important, John, that you massage your nipples.
I understand. Every month. And if you're a runner, runners take very special care of their nipples when they run.
Yeah, but that's that's an exterior thing. This is an interior thing.
Oh, it's an interior. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I missed that part of it.
How'd you miss that? That's the headline.
Once you said my nipple hurts, I kind of fogged over a little bit. I got it.
The right nipple is free and clear. It's very malleable. And then the left nipple has got some stuff in there, and it hurts to the touch.
Hmm.
Ah. So Lord knows what that is.
It's mastitis.
What's that?
I don't know what that is either. What is that, Jones?
The breastfeeding thing.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, we've all experimented. But I have to go, and now the whole time I'm in Atlanta, I finally, that I'm back from vacation, the whole time I'm in Atlanta, I'm going to have to think about these things.
Yeah, that's not great.
No.
I'm sorry. So you fly tomorrow?
I fly tomorrow afternoon.
Did you get rid of all the layovers after the nightmare return? Is this a direct flight or are there layovers?
It's one of the four places in Boston you can fly directly to.
That's a fair point, right? You can get to Atlanta directly.
Yeah, there's Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, and Orlando. We've always had to take a connection to Orlando. It's $1 million. So, yes, it's one of the three places that you can actually fly direct.
I think there's one direct flight to Seattle each day. I know that because I have family that lives out there.
Lord knows what could go wrong with that.
That's Alaska Airlines, though. It's not a major carrier. That's the one direct flight because Alaska Airlines from Boston to Seattle.
Yeah. So,
can't get to New Orleans direct. I know that for a fact.
So if you want to get to, because if there's one flight, you're screwed anyway. I mean, you're absolutely screwed if there's only one flight, because if that gets canceled, that's that.
Correct.
Because I'm flying out Sunday night, and it's probably the last flight going to Boston, but there's no way that takes off.
Are you off on Monday?
I am off
on Monday. Oh, so there you go. You've already planned for that contingency.
Yes.
Are you worried at all about the elevation, maybe nipple pains? Are you worried about that?
Oh, that's right. How the change in cabin pressure could be a problem.
Well,
that's right.
I've just been on four flights, so I'm aware.
Oh, this is already going on?
Yes. I'm very surprised I have not received a phone call to make me feel better.
It's as if the listeners want you to suffer a little.
It's just, you know, that no one's telling me, like, hey, it's going to be okay.
I think you guys are big in the nippleist specialist demographic, I would imagine.
I would think so. Would think that there's a man out there that has gone through such a thing. But that's all next week. I got Monday off because I know that something bad's going to happen. I'm not going to be able to get home on Monday or on Sunday. And I'm going to be by myself, so, you know, makes it even worse. It's not, you know, I'm going to be since I'm by myself, I'm trapped out there.
Right.
And then when I come back, it's dermatologist, doctor, Nipperuski guy.
Busy week.
Well, it is. And it's something that I need to get taken care of. Oh.
So I'm a little, I don't know. I don't feel, I don't want to say
there's too much change going on.
I don't want to say I don't feel great about it, but I don't feel great about it. The left nipple.
Yeah, I've never heard of this before, Fred. I gotta say this, a little strange.
You've never heard of someone having problems with a nipple?
Not from the inside, no.
What about what's going on from the outside?
Exterior, there are chafing issues. You know, maybe you were in an aggressive relationship. In the bedroom with a woman, things happened exterior-wise, but interior I've never heard of.
Huh. Is Bird here? Is he supposed to be here? Oh, my God.
He's not
here. he's made it to the new building? He knows we're in a new building, right?
But will this affect the show? That's what I want to know.
Oh, it depends what's going on. Brandon, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Fred, I need to know if there's any discharge coming out of that nipple.
Nothing more than usual. No, there's no discharge.
You need to know?
Okay. I have no idea, and I can't help you out. I was just curious.
Okay. Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Just kind of wanted to know so we could... You could think about that.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Kyle. Hello. Kyle.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, it could be gynecomastia.
Now, what's that?
Basically, it's kind of like a mass in the nipple. It can be removed with surgery, but it'll be underneath. It's a buildup of not fluid, but it's a mass, and it's certainly removable. I've had it.
Now, is it from because I'm pumping too much iron, or what's the deal?
It's like a chemical imbalance. You're producing too much hormone, so you probably should take a shot of tea.
So it's too much estrogen?
Yes.
Oh boy. That's no good.
See, I thought he was saying the opposite at first. I thought he was like, you're such a man.
Yeah. Too much testosterone is forming under the nipple. I understand. Yeah.
So now at 43 years old, I have to start getting testosterone shots?
Your T level's falling off more than other people, apparently.
I've become what Windhorst apparently looks like.
I think your diet's a little better. I think you're okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a bunch of stuff to get to today. There was a Garoppolo article that was very funny about what he's doing. A Fieri on Shark Week. Coming up, though, we'll go over last night's Red Sox game, plus Patriots Patriots OTAs. We will have all that for you coming right up.
It's T&R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Fox Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich last night. Red Sox lose to the Twins 2-1, but there was a situation where the bases were loaded, and up comes Jackie Bradley Jr.
Full count. 3-2. And he struck him out, and at 97 miles an hour, Jackie Bradley fans, they leave them loaded in the ninth inning. Minnesota eking out a 2-1 victory.
Now that's from Nesson. Now, Adam Jones is very good at sending us a sheet of things that he wants to talk about. And you were apoplectic about what happened at the end of that game.
Well, I mean, I think it was pretty predictable, right? Who expected Jackie Bradley Jr. to come through there?
Alex Cora, obviously, with Mitch Moreland sitting on the bench.
So that would frustrate me as a Red Sox fan. You have, I know Bradley, I guess, technically is an all-star. He made an all-star team a couple years ago. Mitch Moreland happened to do it this year. Mitch Moreland actually is having a pretty good year. Mitch Moreland, I'm not a big believer in, batter versus pitcher stats. I think it's too small of a sample size, but he even has good numbers against Fernando Rodney in his career. He can hit for a little bit of power. Why is he left on the bench? I mean, that should be frustrating to all Red Sox fans. But no, I thought it was predictable. Even up 3-0. Did anybody want Bradley swinging? He has a 3-0 count. Did anybody want him swinging the bat on 3-0 or 3-1, even 3-2? I'm like, yeah, maybe take this one, Jackie. I didn't necessarily want him swinging at all. And he goes down swinging to end the game when the Red Sox have a real chance to get back into it. So, no, I thought it was predictable. The Moreland thing is frustrating, though. Not going to your bench is frustrating.
I thought he should have pinch hit Moreland for Holt, the batter before, to be honest with you. But it's no excuse for leaving an all-star on the bench who hasn't played the entire game. You have him there, sitting there. You wanted to get him arrested, but he's sitting there for a situation like this. And Fernando Rodney couldn't find the plate. I mean, it's very frustrating.
What do you have a bench for? Right. Why do you have a bench if you're not going to use it there or really use it at all in that inning? Why have a bench? What's the point of it?
Right. You don't want to even start touching your starting lineup. That's right. You have the lineup the way you wanted it, and you're not making a move. Well, Alex Cora was asked that very question, if he considered pinch hitting for Moreland.
No, I mean, we got all the lefties that were in. That pinch hitting thing is not that easy. So, we got men in scoring position with Rafi, and then we felt the at-bats after that. They were good ones. We're not going to hit there for Brock. He's a good at-bat there, and Jack is one of our best hitters the last month. I don't think there was a spot there.
Jackie Bradley Jr., the new Pete Rose? Is that what we're saying now?
He's on fire. He's on fire the last month.
He's not. He's not, though.
He's on fire. No, he is.
I think he's hitting 250 something over the last month.
Well, compared to the rest of his season, he's on fire.
Oh, he's up to 207.
Yeah.
In fairness, he's slugging. He's slugging at a solid 344.
Yeah, he's up on fire. I didn't realize he was up to 207. I actually take it all back. He's hitting 207 now? Wow. Okay. Well, my mistake. He is one of their better hitters. I would agree.
What do you think the deal is with people so vehemently supporting Jackie Bradley Jr.? Like, there is a contingent of people in the media that just think that anyone who questions the value of Jackie Bradley Jr. is a complete idiot.
I have a theory, because I think people who cover the team day in and day out, I think this is very similar with Marcus Smart. I think it's why they're both so polarizing. You know, to justify your job and your existence on the beat, you have to see more than the average fan. You have to know more than the average fan, right? So it's easy for us, Fred, to look at Jackie Bradley Jr. hitting 207 and to go, oh, he stinks. Like, that's not hard to do, right? I mean, I think it's accurate, but that's not hard to do. So the beat writers, the people who cover this team, the people who need to justify their existence with insight, no. You don't understand. Bradley's only hitting 207, but look at the defense. Look at the base running, which, by the way, got thrown out on the bases last night as well. So
I go from first to third on a ground ball to the infield.
I think that's what it is. It's like, oh, the people who cover the Celtics. No, Marcus Smart does a lot more. Really, he can't shoot, which doesn't make him all that valuable and a net negative to me. Same thing with Bradley Jr. His defense is not that valuable. When you can't hit, especially in a clutch situation like that, when you can't hit, you're not valuable. No matter what you see covering the team day in and day out, no matter what you think, he's not that valuable to this team. So that's what I think it is, Wallach.
Well, Borges would have been an all-timer. There's been center fielders that just can't hit that have found their way out of the league.
Peter Borges.
Peter Borges.
Yeah,
I remember Peter Borges. Yes, everyone thought it was the most electric defensive center fielder ever, and when you can't hit, you can't hit.
No. I mean, I'm not saying Bradley...
Well, hold on. The problem is, Borges just couldn't hit. The problem is, Jackie Bradley Jr. will have 3 weeks where he hits everything. And people say, well, okay, let's ride this out. Let's see how far I can go. And after going 15 for 23, he'll go 0 for his next 23 with 15 strikeouts. That's the problem. You don't know when the streak is going to happen, and Alex Cora clearly thinks this is the beginning of or the run-up to the streak. The fact that he's hitting decently over the last 3 weeks, and even before he started hitting, Cora was telling the media, well, he's had some really good at-bats. He's had some bad luck out there.
Exit velocity.
I
was about to say that.
Exactly. It's good exit velocity, though.
Because that was the big argument a couple months ago, is that, well, you don't really understand the exit velocity has been fantastic.
No, I like the exit velocity on the swing and miss to end the game last night. I thought that was strong exit velocity.
Yeah, and that's a good Marcus Smart comparison, because Marcus Smart will hit six straight threes in a row and then miss his next 10. So that's the way it is for Jackie Bradley Jr. So Alex Cora and his thinking, saying, all right, he doesn't get hot a lot. This might be the only chance he is hot. Let's send him up there to see if he can remain hot, and maybe that'll extend another couple of weeks. That was his thinking last night. But when you're up 3-0 and then strike out by looking at two fastballs and then swinging and missing through a third with the tying run on third and the winning run on second, that's excusable.
See, I especially enjoyed last night, because I've not been a fan of really the commentary around Bradley. Like you just said, it. Some fans, some media will just go to bat for him. And again, you don't see it. You guys don't get it. You're not as nuanced as we are. I really enjoyed last night because Red Sox Twitter, Wallach, maybe you can back me up on this, was going nuts when he threw out Joe Mauer.
An
ex-catcher. He's not even athletic enough to play catcher anymore.
They moved him to first.
He's a first baseman /DH. So Bradley throws out, you know, maybe the slowest guy on the field. And Red Sox Twitter freaks out. They're you know, throwing a little parade for Jackie Bradley Jr. See, he's valuable, see. Then later in the game, he gets thrown out on the bases, and he ends the game striking out.
Right.
Net negative. Like last night, I feel like, is a good synopsis for Bradley. Like, yeah, he's pretty good defensively. He's got a great arm. On balance, not worth it. Not worth playing every day.
Red Sox Twitter, I have to give them a little bit of credit, because from what I saw, Jones, it was more along the line, just let me finish for a second before you go all negative on me. Yeah, I know.
All right, why are you giving anyone on Twitter credit? But go ahead.
So the idea was, why in the world would you run on Jackie Bradley Jr. when you're slow. Why would you send Maurer in that situation, knowing who the center fielder is? Jackie Bradley Jr. does have a very strong arm.
He does.
It's so strong to the point that people don't necessarily run on him that much. They respect the arm. Why would you send Joe Maurer in that situation? That was more of what I got on Twitter. Now, people hate you, Jones. I can only imagine the kind of Twitter response you get, but what I got
it wasn't even directly
a little
me.
Different than what you got.
Just the Alex Spears. Oh, he's tied for six now, an outfield
Red
assist.
Sox fans
oh, he's
have tied pissed for- off at you from a couple of months ago.
Oh,
already,
I'm sorry. So. He's tied for sixth. Wow. I die again.
That justifies the whole 200 thing.
The whole rainout scenario, which we'll get to from you, people are still angry at you from that, from the Baltimore Orioles rainout game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think that
I do want to get to that
because
I don't think I've ever heard someone so upset about a reaction to a rainout.
No. It was
in my entire life.
It was peak Jones. It was fantastic. Yeah, I want to hear it.
We will get to that. All right. When we come back, you saw last night bad news for the Yankees. Also, we'll get into training camp for the Patriots. Here are the headlines.
Tutcher and Rich.
Merciless warlord of the deep determines that this is the golden moment to attack.
Yeah, I be rolling, holding my sword, Lord, I be zoning, going hard in the moment. Only God can control them, I told them it's not a game. Show them not how to flame, they broken, I got them smoking. He's spoken a lot of things, saying who the boss, stupid till you prove it.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Czarface doing something very soon with Ghostface Killer. I forgot it was Friday. I guess that's good. All right, let's go to... Dave, go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Fred. Just a heads up. You're with two birds today, a vulture and an eagle.
Yes.
A good way to keep them calm is to show dominance. Puff your chest out. Maybe spread your arms out. I just heard the eagle get a little snippy with the vulture there. It was
that was true.
Scary.
He did.
So you're saying, you're saying I have to, like, present, like, much like a... peacock?
Yes, if they get too riled up, then what I usually do with my cockatoos is I'll throw a sheet over their cage to calm them down.
That's smart.
So you're saying that I should bring something so
it's over
they
our
think
heads.
It's night? Because now we finally have windows.
Yes. Put some curtains up or something. Make them, it calms them down and makes them, you know... I worry for you.
Yeah,
you're with two predator birds, and just I don't want to see anything happen to that nibble.
Yeah. Well, listen, something's already going on with the nibble. Perhaps the bird could help.
Yeah, a little more docile. You need us to be a little more docile.
That's right. I need you guys to calm down already with it. All right. Well, if you are a Red Sox fan last night, maybe not so upset about this happening.
2-2, and that one hits Judge. Couldn't get out of the way, so he'll take first. And out comes Stevie Donahue.
So you see this ball just running up and in, but as a hitter, unintentional or not, it hurts. And you see, I thought that got him on the forearm. That's closer to the wrist, which much more painful.
Yeah, so he got a chip fracture in the right wrist, and he is going to be out for a 3-week time period. And 3 weeks for fracturing your wrist.
That seems low, right?
That seems really low.
I agree.
I'm thinking, well, they said there was no surgery, and obviously the chip fracture means a chip off the bone, right? I mean, I'm not misreading this, like a little chip off the bone in your wrist.
I would think.
If you don't need surgery, they say it's going to be 3 weeks until he swings a bat in a game or in a game situation.
Right.
I'm thinking it's longer than 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
So I mean, they just put a game situation... as kind of a cloak and dagger?
I think so. I mean, I agree with you. A fractured wrist, if you're a hitter, I mean, hands and wrists are the most important things. You would think it's going to be longer than 3 weeks.
And even so, let's say he's back in 3 weeks, right? Let's say the timetable is accurate. I mean, you just said it. Your wrists are everything when you're a hitter.
Yeah.
You know, you see this
so
with...
So it happened to Bogarts. He had a hand problem in the middle of July and wasn't the same hitter for the next, what, 2-3 months?
You see like the hamate bone, like the bone in the hand. Like you see that one a lot, saps power. Like I'd imagine the wrist would be the same thing. So like let's say Judge comes back in 3 weeks. Is he the same guy? Like that's a big blow to the Yankees, not to oversimplify things, but that's massive.
Yeah, and so look at how that timetable goes out. Well, the Patriots training camp is going on strong, and Bill Belichick always forthright what's going on, and he's asked about Brady.
All the players were required to report. All the quarterbacks were required to report. They all did like they always do. So Tom's never missed anything that's been required.
So the relationship between you and him is all good right now?
We've got a good relationship with all of our players. I hope so.
Were you ever concerned that he wasn't going to be committed to this season?
No.
Okay. So he's pretty vague about what his relationship is with Brady and says he's never missed anything that he had to be at.
Well, and Volan asked him, he's like, hey, the exact question, were you pleased to see Tom Brady report early this week? And Bill's like, he's not early. He's like, what are you talking about? He's not early. He's here when everybody's supposed to be. Like the other quarterbacks and the injured players and the rookies. Like Bill just wanted to be, state for the record with some accuracy, but like, I don't know. It seems like Brady had been putting out there in social media, I'm early. See, it's not a big deal. I skipped all these OTAs. I'm early. And Bill's like, no, he's not. That's when he's supposed to be here. Tom's always here when it's required.
Right.
But he's not early.
All right. So in your opinion, do you make anything of that answer?
I do. I make something of that and the follow-up, which you heard there about the relationship where Bill just says, yeah, I feel like I have a good relationship with all our players.
Right.
Well, it's not answering your question about the relationship with Brady.
See, I just think that's him being, you know, how he usually is very vague.
Well,
just he's being deliberately vague there.
True, but later on in the same interview, he was asked about Josh McDaniels, and he went on and on about his relationship with McDaniels.
We got that for you. I understand that he was pretty terse with Brady, but I think he understands that that's been the kind of dialogue going on before the season. And that the thing with McDaniels coming back is a net positive for the team. So maybe that's why he went on like that, the way he did. All right. Then he's asked Bill Belichick about Edelman's suspension.
Bill, in the wake of Julian's suspension, any concerns about players receiving training or treatment from practice?
We instruct all of our players the same way, and we'll continue to do that. We never want to do anything that we're not allowed to do. We always want to play and abide by the rules, and we want to, at the same time, do what's best for the team. And so we'll continue to instruct our players, all of our players, that way in every area.
Have there been any changes in terms of policy or privileges when it comes to Alex treating or training players here at the facility?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the specifics of what our staff does and so forth.
Is he on the staff?
No.
Yeah, so you're not going to get specifics about what your staff does, but he's not on the staff.
Right.
So what are you exactly saying there?
Right, so can you get into the specifics on the guy not on your staff, please, Bill? That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. You're saying that you can't get into specifics about the guy on your staff.
Yeah, good. So don't.
Yeah, so no one cares about the guys on your staff. Yeah, no one cares about the trainers on your staff.
No,
they're interested in this
not.
Whole story about Guerrero and how it could be splintering your relationship with Tom Brady, and if Guerrero is any way responsible for Edelman. That's why it's the follow-up, is that the idea that Edelman getting suspended and then the Guerrero follow-up, that's not just a coincidence. I mean, that's the story. Is Guerrero responsible for Edelman getting pinched like that? What's odd about this season, and it's not going to stop, it's real, because you're seeing these, if I'm not mistaken, you're seeing these beat guys get more balls than they have in a very long time.
This whole off season is different. I mean, everything has changed. The questions he's getting are more aggressive. I mean, Dan Shaughnessy is one thing, but you have a lot of people that are there all the time now stepping up and asking questions that they ordinarily would just kind of sit on because they knew what the answer was. People are asking these questions now, even though they still get swatted away. I think that...
And it's not... I don't think it's going away this year.
It's not... It's vulnerability. The Patriots look vulnerable because of all the stuff, because of the Butler thing, because of the Edelman thing. It just... The entire organization looks a little bit more vulnerable to me this year than in past years, and that's emboldened all the people that are there every day.
Well, that's the whole point.
They still might not get the answers they want.
No, but the thing is...
But now they're asking the questions that people want them to.
And if it's not going to stop... I mean, the questions your relationship with Brady are not going to stop unless you rally off 6 wins in a row and then it just seems to be a lot. But I mean, you have to this whole preseason ask about it, and it's going to be every day because no one's interested in anything else.
Do you think if Bill like bites someone's head off, like he hasn't done that yet? Bill actually, by especially by his standards, has been like pretty cordial. If he bites someone's head off, do you think that gets the beat writers to back off a little bit?
I think that they're in a situation now, if you're a beat writer, that it's more important that you ask the questions than that you're ingratiated with Bill. I think at this point, everyone is curious because it's an honest curiosity.
I agree with you.
There's people that are listening. They're going to go, oh, you hate the Patriots. You hate the Patriots. And my whole thing is, what are you curious about? I mean, this is the whole thing is that if say you're the world's biggest Patriots fan.
Yep.
And all you want them to do is go undefeated. There's got to be a lot of curiosity about Guerrero's role this season. There's got to be a lot of curiosity between the relationship with Brady and Belichick. There has to be a lot of curiosity, even though he kind of squashed it, about Gronkowski, and we'll get to that later. And there has to be a lot of conversation about if Brady wants to play. I mean, this is all that's going on. I mean, Brady missed the OTA or the non-mandatory OTAs. He missed, he talked openly during his little miniseries about not playing again and thinking about retiring. He, you know, wanted to spend more time with his family. Everyone knows all these things, but no one's can talk to Belichick about it. If he snaps someone's, if I'm a beat writer, I understand. And I've talked to a bunch of them and I understand that sometimes Bill will give you something behind closed doors and that you can develop a relationship with him and la di da di da. That's all great, but none of that matters because now, even again, you have to understand if you're the world's biggest Patriots fan and you just want to see what happens on the field and that's all you care about, right now, at the end of July, this is what's important.
Well, and maybe people sense, you know, people meaning the people on the beat, like, well, what do you care that Bill's going to feed you stuff off the record if you think he might be on his way out in a couple of years? Like, if the end is in sight, right? Same thing with Brady, so I don't know. It feels like those guys are getting closer and closer to the end, so maybe you worry and value that relationship a little less.
I just think it's like it being in politics or anything else that, you know, you have to address these things. And if you don't want to answer the question, that's fine. But if you're a beat writer, you have to ask them, because if you don't, you're not serving your readers.
The other part of it is, regardless of the decisions that he's made in signing athletes, we brought up Adelius Thomas, you know, the Monty Beisels of the world. We mentioned this earlier this week.
Yeah,
he's made a lot of mistakes signing people, but the bottom line has always been he's right because the Patriots win, you know. And you know what? For the first time in how many years, he was wrong. He didn't play Malcolm Butler. That was wrong. You know, he traded Jimmy Garoppolo for less of a take than he could have had with Cleveland. That was wrong, too. All the stuff that Belichick does, all the questions he swats away, you know, he's been beyond reproach because he's always, in the end, been right. His team's been in the Super Bowl. They win 13 or 14 games. This is the first time where you can look and point at things and go, you know what, Bill? You were wrong. It cost your team. You didn't get the take you should have gotten for a franchise quarterback. You didn't play a guy you should have played that probably would have won you a Super Bowl. When was the last time people can look at Belichick and his decision-making and the bottom line be wrong instead of right?
I guarantee you.
Everything is different this
year. I guarantee you that Butler story comes out. There's way too many people involved in it. It's like, I always put it, there was this movie, Evil Genius. It's a documentary, and it's about this guy that they put a explosive device around the guy's neck, and then
is that the one Zoe and Beetle were live tweeting?
Yes. Oh, that, yeah. That's I heard them talking about it on the radio.
That was a whole show thing. That was a whole. Let's all watch this. That's right.
So I watched it, and the police really had nothing to go on, and they said someone's going to crack. There's just too many people involved, and someone's going to crack. And there's I mean, how many people are involved in this? And people are in other places now, and they're not beholden to the organization. Someone's going to crack with this. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Oh, Flint, Michigan. Everyone loves Ready for the World. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We heard Bill Belichick talking about Brady and kind of mumbling his way through it. Asked about Edelman and Guerrero, kind of mumbles his way through it, but then he gets excited. He's asked about Josh McDaniels coming back.
With regards to Josh, obviously people assume he's taking the Colts job. How much of a bump is that for you to be able to get him back on the staff and in the same role?
I've had a long relationship with Josh and a good one. I think he's a great coach. I love working with Josh.
What sort of role did you play in bringing him back?
Yeah, you have to talk to Josh about the Josh's situation, his decision making, all that. That's a question for him. I can answer that.
Yeah, I always thought that McDaniels coming back was the biggest post move, that he hasn't taken a job anywhere else. And that, you know, and then people will go, well, they must have assured him that, you know, Belichick's going to leave at some point soon. And to that, I would say, even if he did, it was on paper, you know, it was that's been notarized that he's going to leave.
You would know, you follow Michigan State, right? Does Michigan State, do they have like a coach in waiting? Like, how long do you got to wait for Izzo to step down?
Yeah, they had some, in the football side, they had some defensive coordinator that they thought might take over from Mike D'Antonio at some point, and he wisely left.
Right.
Because he knew.
Especially in college, those stories happen all the, like the coach in waiting things happen all the time in college. They like rarely, if ever,
like
work
Johnny
out.
Dawkins at Duke. Yeah, and yeah. These guys that just sat around forever.
Who was the guy under Boeheim? Mike Hopkins.
Oh, that guy, Mike Hopkins.
He was like,
yeah.
He was like coach in waiting for like 5 years.
Jimbo Fisher worked out for Florida State, right?
Yeah, they shoved out Bobby Bowden.
Yeah, that
and then
that,
they,
but
they
that's
just
the
shoved
one...
they just shoved out Jimbo Fisher.
I know, but that's the point. Jimbo Fisher was the coach in waiting. That it does happen.
Bobby Bowden was also 90 years old.
Well, true.
Jimbo Fisher had to wait a long time for that job.
Bobby Bowden, I think, when he left, was almost in his mid-80s.
Yeah, he was on his way to Paterno'sville, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the best is Paterno is that I saw Paterno. I went to an Ohio State-Penn State game years ago when...
You did?
Yeah.
Where? Ohio or
Penn
Happy
State.
Valley?
My wife went to Penn State.
Oh, gotcha.
And her friends were just terrible and no fun. And so, like, there's literally... It was a 3:30 game against Ohio State. Both programs are doing well.
Did you wear white?
No. And, I did, you know, to the affairs beforehand.
I see.
When I was Colonel Sanders, I was doing a lot of stuff for Kentucky Fried Chicken at the time. And there's like literally dudes walking around, like 80-year-old dudes walking around with bottles of vodka, you know, like drinking on the street and da-da-da-da-da. And there's, you know, all the bars are packed. And my wife's friends were like, you know, we had a long night last night. I think we're just going to take it easy. And I'm like, it's a 3:30 game. I went to my wife's stupid bagel shop that she loved when she was there. I went and walked by her sorority.
You're walking through this huge field. Well, I've been to Beaver Stadium. You walked through this huge field, you know, and everyone's having fun. And you park there and you're in the middle of 70,000 people tailgating. And this is what your wife's friend said.
Right. Yeah. There's about
for eight, a 3:30 in the afternoon game.
Yeah. There's three other couples. Yep. And, you know, I went to bed earlier than everyone because of a job situation. And they didn't want to do anything. But Joe Paterno was legitimately on the other side of the field, just standing there. He has no headset on. And that McCreary guy, or whatever the hell his name is doing everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, Paterno. Paterno's just walking around, talking to nobody, talking to no players, legitimately talking to nobody. It was fast. I mean, I have no... He was such a figurehead. I have and that's, you know, remember, like, he took no money? Like, he just sat there.
Oh, is that true?
I think that he got paid, but yeah. I think he was vastly underpaid in terms of other big-time coaches. I believe that's true. I could be wrong. But he legitimately did nothing.
No.
Just walked around and didn't even try to pretend he did.
Nope.
Just walked around like he was taking a stroll. He was tiptoeing through the tulips. He loved it more than anything.
Just grandpa at a birthday party. Just kind of wheel him out there on Saturdays.
Yeah.
How's the bagel, by the way, while everybody was out having a good time?
It was rage-like.
Yeah. Good schmear on that bagel.
I said, if I take care of all this, if I'll give you 2 hours of going around to things I don't care about. You know, because the campus is huge.
Yep.
Yeah.
If I do this.
Oh, here's where I had English class.
Right, exactly. Wow, oh. That's great.
Oh, here's where I had Intro to Psych 101.
I like being out in the middle of nowhere and just being taken into stupid
places. That's the worst
places.
Part about the whole thing. You travel out there and it's 3 hours from anywhere. You have to drive 3 hours through fields to get to the damn campus. And I feel so sorry for you because it is a beating, because there's no airport you fly into and it's 5 minutes. You have to drive hours and hours and hours through nothing to get there.
Well,
and then to have that kind of time. Oh, man.
Well, her dad got married like that Friday. So he actually got a car service for us. And I was like, oh, sweet, this is a car service. And then he's still like, well, it's still 3 hours.
Yeah, I know. It's such a terrible drive to get out there.
Oh, man.
Hey, it's awful.